We're coming to the special testimony for tonight. Our brother Ryan, we've known Ryan for some years. He carried out some work around the church whenever we were renovating the Carson complex, where he's a decorator, painter and decorator by trade. And we made very good use of him when we were in Kenya. And he came with us when the group last year of over 50 young people travelled out to paint the Christian school. And it was good to have the expertise and those that knew what they were doing to guide those who didn't. And the job was a good one. And we thank him for coming and for participating. And he's going to come now and relate his testimony to us all. God bless you, Ryan.
Well, let you read Ephesians 2, 1 to 18, please. And as you're turning up, just let you thank Mr. Park for the invitation to come. So do you? He's talking about Kenya there. I can't take all the praise for that. I have to give the praise to the people that were there. When I first arrived, I said, no way will we get this place done. So I did, but praise the Lord. The Lord knew all about it, and we got the whole place done and the kitchen done too. So everybody that was there, give yourself a hand. So it was you that done it, not me. Well, read God's word, Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all have our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by natures the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcisions by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye, who were sometimes were afar off, made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment contained in the ordinance. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Amen. And God bless his word to your soul. You know, I stand here tonight not in anything of myself, but I stand here tonight because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I can say, as it says in Acts 4 and verse 10, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. You know, I can say that the man there in Acts 4 was brought to the temple and laying at the door, and the people went in, and Paul and Peter went by them, and they were walking by them, some gave alms, and he was there, and Paul and Peter were standing, and Peter says, money have I not got. You know, and that verse spoke to me because I thought of a young man in Ballymena, Rodney Palmer, And I can honestly say it was Rodney that brought me into the house of the Lord, although it was the Lord that saved, but it was through Rodney Balmer and his witness that I got saved. You know, I grew up in a town, Ballymena, into a good family. My mum and dad sent me to Sunday school, up to a church up the road, but I can never remember being told I needed to be saved. I can never remember being reading the Bible. I can never remember the Bible being read in my house. So I never know. My mum and dad, they didn't drink, so they didn't, or they smoked and stuff, but they were hard working people. My mum, I was thinking about my testimony today, and I was just thinking about my mum. And well, she was a hard working woman. She wanted to give us what she could never have, what she never got up when she was growing up. You know, but as we went on in life, you know, I never heard the words of Romans 3:23, like, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, as I was 14 years old, I joined a band in Ballymena. It was Ballymena Young, BYD it was called at that time, and I was in that band, and I got a flute, and I remember going home that night, and that's the first time I met Rodney Balmer too. Rodney, he was to something to do with the band at that time, and I got a flute that night, and I mind him sending me home and to learn a tune called the US Marines. I couldn't play it now, right enough, but I remember going home that night with the flute, and 3 weeks later I was standing in my mum's house playing this flute, and a knock came to the door, and it was Rodney and them, and he says, give me the flute back because the band's dissolved. You know, and I thought, oh no, this is what I wanted to do. All my mates were in this band, and I says, right, this is it. This is the way I'm going. You know, but the Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own ways. And I can only say at that age, that's when I started. I was smoking at that age anyway. I started smoking when I was 11 years old. So I did. At that age, at 14 was the first time I meant get into public bars. So I did round Ballymena. I was able to get into the bars then, and I was drinking. So I was, and I joined an R band. My cousin, he started up an R band then. That was Ballycool Loyal Sons of Ulster. And I joined that band, and to my shame, we've prayed at this town, this country. I've prayed at Ballymoney many a night. Maybe not seeing many a person, maybe fall out of my head. I hadn't a clue. It's a habit of mine, prayed in Ballymoney many a night. You know, but I'm nothing against bands, but what goes with bands. You know, I started off smoking, and then with one tin of beer, and a mind drinking a couple of tins of beer and a bottle of cider. You know, as my life progressed, you know, sin kept coming in and coming in. In Romans 5:12 says, By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know, I never heard these words. I never heard these words till I was 32 years old. And I live in Ballymena. You know, the Bible belt of Northern Ireland. So nobody ever came to me and told me about the gospel. And as you go on in my testimony, nobody would want to come near me because I was an ignorant, ill-bred man. You know, the Bible says in John 8:34, whosoever committeth sin is a servant or a bond slave to sin. And I can honestly say I was a bond slave to the devil. You know, as I think back, Ronnie said to me one night when he got saved and he was sending me going to meetings. You know, if you're in this meeting tonight, I would just ask you, honestly ask you, to ask the Lord to speak to you. You know, if you're in here unsaved, you know, you're going to hell. If you die tonight, you're in hell. And I would honestly ask you to ask the Lord to save you. For Rodney asked me, he says, when you're going to a meeting, Ryan, he says, this is when I'm unsaved, you ask the Lord to speak to you. So as I went on in my life, 17 years old, down the town doing the things that we were doing, you know, I was thinking back, and you know, to my shame, for 2 years I was on the glue. I'd done a lot of glue sniffing around Ballymena. So I did, and I'm going to tell you a wee story. I was sitting behind a car park one night, glue sniffing. So I was, and we had into this place like a hut, and there was paintings in the wall, and there was three devil's faces in the wall. So they were wavering in there. There was a whole crowd of us. You know, and We were sitting glue sniffing, and the next minute I was squealing. You know, for one of them faces that just come out straight in front of me and started to laugh at me. You know, and it just, when I was thinking today, it just brought me to that verse in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, when I thought on these things today, and as I was praying, it was a long time for this meeting, you know, the God really convicted me and showed me more of the grace of God in my life. You know, I was standing in that place that night, shouting, squealing, because this figure had come into my life. You know, and the wee fella beside me turned around and hit me a dig in the mouth. You know, and took me out of what I was in. You know, but that didn't scare me. I just went on in my life. I just went on at 17, 18 years old. There was a couple of boys round the estate. We got together and we had done stuff out round the estates and round Northern Ireland, round town and stuff. You know, one Monday night, 5:30 in the morning, the police came in through my mother's door. So they did shout, "We're here for one of your sons." You know, my mum went up the stairs and woke my wee brother. She got her bed and woke my wee brother, and the policeman says, "No, we're not here for him, we're here for the other man." Now you remember that verse in John 8:34, "Whosoever commit a sin is a servant or a bondslave to sin." You know, if you're unsaved tonight, you're a servant of the devil. Whether you like it or not, I can tell you from God's word here, so I can. You know, the word in Romans 8:7 says, "The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be indeed. You know, and that's where my mind was. I was just a vile, ignorant, ill-bred man. You know why? But my mum and my dad through was nothing, but I didn't care. I didn't care about them. So I didn't, you know, when at 19 years old, I said to myself, "I'm going to have to settle down. So I'm going to have to wise up a bit." So the way I thought of wising up was getting a girl and settling down. You know, I got married at the age of 21. And I got divorced at the age of 28. So that it didn't last long because of the life I was leading. So that didn't, you know, and three children out of that marriage, you know. And I just speak to young people today. I think and praise the Lord you're here tonight. I hope and pray you're listening, and I hope and pray that you're saved. You know, even you're going down that road, ask the Lord to get you a girl. You know, because I stand here tonight as a weekend dad. So do. I want to get one of my children now at the weekends because of my sin. You know, and sin has consequences in your life. But as I went on in my life, through those years, drink come in. So dad and my stone dad, so just got on with life. I just says, "Well, this is it. I just have to get on with things." At that time, as Mr. Park says, painter and decorator, it was round the army camps, so it was. I was making good money, between £600 and £700 a week. So it was, and at the age of 28, I was on my own in the flat in Ballykeel with a double bed and a 28-inch TV. You know, the devil had promised me so much, say had, and I ended up with so little. You know, the Bible said he's a liar, and I can honestly tell you tonight, he is the father of lies, as the Bible would say. You know, but again, I went on, I turned to the drink, I started to sell drink in Ballykeel, I started to sell drink round the estates. So I did, and as I was selling drink, I was selling drink to the younger age, I was selling drink to young people too. I didn't care about these, didn't care about anybody. I didn't need an excuse to fight, I didn't need an excuse to do nothing. As I was drinking and as I was in my cell, I was going to live up life. You know, until a man got saved, and I really mentioned him, Rodney. Rodney started to work with me, and Rodney came in every Monday morning with a smile on his face. Didn't come in every Monday morning. He had that smile on his face constantly anyway. But on a Monday morning, even if I made it in to work on Monday morning, you know, Rodney had been saying, what were you doing at the weekend? And I had been asking Rodney, what was he doing at the weekend? And Rodney was saying, oh, how the Lord was speaking to him out of the Bible, you know. And I was saying, right, that was it. And then I was trying to get mine, and I was saying, oh, I was doing this, and I was doing that. Rodney didn't want to know this. And you have to remember that Rodney drunk with me, he was in the bands with me. You know, this man really, really spoke with me. You know, in Matthew 19 and 26, it says, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Because many a time I stopped the drink. Many a time I try to clean my life up. I can never ever do it. I can never ever get there. And Rodney started to speak to me about the Lord. And he started to tell me wee verses in John 14 and 6. I'm sure you even know them. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, and then wee verses spoke to me, the life. I had no life. I had nothing. So I hadn't. I was in. And despair. I used to go out on a Friday night, I threw darts, and I would have drunk 10 glass bottle of vodka before I went out to throw my darts. So I went out that night, and I would have spent 60 or 70 pounds in vodka that night, and then I would have come home to Diane, and me and her would have got drunk a litre bottle of vodka. You know, and all this is my life, and this is the way I was going. But Rodney started to tell me about the Lord. He started to tell me about, you know, God interceding, God coming and into his life. You know, 1 Timothy 2 and 5 says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And that's who Rodney presented me, was Christ. He maybe wasn't too educated in how he presented it, but I can honestly tell you that he walked before me and he showed me the way to his walk. You know, if you're saved here tonight, I plead with you, walk with Christ. Because there's people out there and they're watching. You maybe not think they are, but I know in my own life, in my own way, I was watching Rodney. Every move he was making, I was watching him, and I couldn't find any fault in him. I couldn't find the faults that I found in other Christians, the ones that were around my estate. You know, I was the drunkard, I was the slaver. You know, they'd have been shouting and slavering at me too. So they would have been, and I had no respect for them at all. None at all. They weren't walking with Christ. They were saying they were Christians and doing other things, and I knew what they were doing. Same as Christians and the Christian men and the Orange Orders and stuff like that. They weren't talking to me about Christ. I was in these bands. I was sitting in the pubs with them. So I was, and they were saying sometimes they were going to church, they were doing this, they were doing that. They weren't showing me Christ. So they weren't. As I went on, you know, Rodney kept speaking to me. He kept saying to me that Christ died for me. And I says, Christ didn't die for me. How could Christ die for me? Look at the state of me. You know, but in Romans 5 and 8 says, God commended his love towards us. In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, Rodney kept asking me to go to a wee meeting. And I kept saying no. And then the ones out that we were working with, they said they would go. So I says, right, I'll go. I'll go with you, Rodney. So that, you know, if you're in a meeting tonight and somebody's brought you, you're the best friend you'll ever have. So they will, because they love you. They want to see you, what we have, and that's what I want to see tonight. You know, I don't deserve what I have here tonight. It's because of one who died for me on a tree. You know, but Ronnie told me that, and I was in that meeting, that's what he said to me. He says, Ryan, you ask the Lord. He says, you ask the Lord to speak to you. You know, and I came out in that meeting, Diane went with me to that meeting. So she did, and the other boys, they cowed off, they never went in, but Diane says, I'll go with you. So I went, me and Diane went to that meeting, and you know, and I came out of that meeting saying, well, God mustn't want me. I thought God would have saved me there and then. I didn't know anything about conviction. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know any stories in the Bible or none. Just what Rodney was telling me, that I was a sinner and God could take my sin away and give me a life. You know, and as he spoke these words, you know, and I thought about it. from that was from October. So it was, and come around Christmas, my life was just the same again, out in the pubs again. I tried to clean myself up. I tried not to fight as much as I was fighting and do the things I was doing, trying to keep the police away from the door. You know, when Christmas came, we went to a pub and the fighting just started all over again. I was stuck in the middle of a fight. Went New Year was the same. Out on the 14th of February was the same. That was it for me. I just says, right, I've had enough. So I did. Me and Diane split up and we went home. I went home to the flat. And from February to the 4th of April, I can honestly say the Lord really started to work upon my life. You know, I went home every night and cried my eyes out and asked God to save me nearly every night of the week, because I couldn't live the life I was leading no more. You know, in Isaiah 53:5 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of the peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." You know, I just couldn't get the hold of this. You know, but I just kept asking the Lord to save me. So I did, and as I went on, came to the 4th of April, I went out that day. The night before I went, me and Diane went out and tried to patch things up. So we did, and we went out for a meal and all the rest of the things, and I got up that next morning, and I just says, "Nah, this is it. A leper can never change its spots." I says, "I'll never be able to do this." But in my mind, I says, "I need to be saved." I knew I had to be saved. You know, I went down the town that day. I walked over down Ballyhill Bridge and over onto the dual carriageway. You know, the devil was still playing in my mind. You know, he's still trying to blind my mind. So he was, I stand in the middle of that dual carriageway, thinking about my life, thinking what had put my mum and my dad through. I was in a flat of my own, hadn't my children, didn't care about them. When they came in at the weekends, when I was in the drink, I'd give them £2 or £3 and wait to the shop there, boys, and play about the estate and come back in here. So what, I had no love for them at all. I can honestly say that now, because I know what love is. And that's one thing the Bible really tells you, what love is. You know, and as I was standing in that grass verge, I just said to myself, "No point in you. You're nothing." And there was a car coming down and it says, "Just step out there and just end it all." And I honestly can say, I just went to step out and this wee voice came into my head and just said to me, "Ryan, you know a better man than this." And I put my leg in and went on down around the town that day. So I did, out drinking all day, all night. I was standing in the pub at 10:30 that night in the middle of Bryan Street in Ballymena, full drunk out of my head. And the cousin was standing beside me, telling me what kind of person I was. Just telling me what kind of life I was leading. He didn't need to tell me that. I knew what kind of person I was, and I knew. He didn't need him to tell me neither. He was standing with a drink in his hand too. And I was standing drinking, standing slabbering, and we were together, and I just said to myself, "Boy, I'm going to turn around and knock the head clean off you here." And I had a vug and coke in front of me. And I mind lifting the vug and coke and I set it on the table. When that was going down, I was turning around. That's the try. I was turning around at him. As that hit the table, that wee voice just came back into my head again. He says, "Ryan, are you not a better man than this?" You know, I got out of that pub that night, nothing of my own. It was all of the grace of God. You know, I was reading in Deuteronomy this week, and Deuteronomy 4:28. You know, it really spoke to me about my life and whom I was serving before I got saved. And it said, "And there ye shall serve gods, the works of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell." You know, when I thought upon that verse, I thought upon the Lord. So I did, and I thought upon my life. My life, I was serving the drink. I was serving sin as best as I could serve it. You know, and I was coming to gods that could never ever satisfy my soul. Could never ever satisfy the longing that was within me. You know, but verse 29 says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord, thy God, thou shalt find him. And if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. You know, simply that night I asked God to speak to me. You know, and God did speak to me. Little did I know that I was seeking. I wanted to change my life. But on that night, on the 4th of April 1999, in a bedroom in Drumtara, about in the early hours of the morning, it was Easter Saturday night, Rodney Bammer and myself and Mr. Mullen and our wee fella, Mr. Mullen came in, the minister came in and spoke to me out of the Bible. Said that he spoke to me words in the... There was a verse that stuck out among them all, and it's in Revelation 3 and verse 20. And it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." I had over £150 worth of vodka in me that night. And Mr. Mullen said to me, he says, "Ryan," he says, "who's standing at your heart's door?" You know, I simply got down that night. And this is the first time I can, when I think back, I can really remember saying Jesus' name without it being in a curse word. You know, I simply got down that night and I just said, "Jesus." You know, when there was a weight that was lifted off me that night, Mr. Mullen just said to me, he says, "Do you want to get saved, Ryan?" I says, "I do." I says, "I want to get out of this life. I don't want to live this life no more." You know, I simply got down that night in the bedroom in Drumtara. I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. I don't know what I prayed. So I don't. But I know he came in. You know, the next morning I woke up. I knew he was there. You know, and then the next morning Diane phoned me and she says to me, she says, "Where were you at last night? I've been trying to phone you." And I turned around to her and I says, "I think I got saved last night." You know, and then I says, "No, I got saved last night." So I did. And we spoke and we went off the phone, you know, and I can honestly say I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for everything that he's given me. Say, has, you know, it wasn't, as a matter of fact, it was the next night. You know, in my flat, in my city, and Diane got saved. You know, God has been good to us. Say, has, he's given me a life that I never had. You know, we simply come here tonight because of the grace of God. I stand here tonight because of the grace of God. You know, but we weren't long saved. And I didn't know anything of the Bible at all. I couldn't even hardly read. So I couldn't, and I honestly, I learned to read through the Bible. As I was reading the Bible, people would say to me, "There's big words in the Bible." Well, I can honestly say there was a lot of Belfast in the Bible, because when I came to them big words, that's the word I said. But I thank the Lord. It's not through me, it's through his Holy Spirit that he teaches us. And even somebody that is like myself, I was never anywhere educated or anything like that there. But I can honestly say I can read the Bible. I don't need these other forms of the Bible. When I went, me and Diane got first saved, we didn't know nothing about the Free Presbyterian Church. Knew nothing about it. So I didn't even like Free Presbyterian Church. But we simply got round, went round Ballymena. We simply got down on our knees and asked the Lord to lead us to a church. So we did. I mean, round Ballymena, many a church, boy, and I can honestly say they were dead. Men coming out of the church and praying to the Lord for the singing. For we weren't long saved, and I think we were only two that was singing in that church that night. So we can. And I thank the Lord for the stand of the Free Presbyterian Church. And I'm not standing here, but no church will save you. I know that. No church will save you. I get saved in the bedroom. So that I don't need, no church will save you. I thank and praise the Lord for the stand for the Free Church. So I do, and I think, praise the people in it. You know, as we went on, we were just reading and praying. The Lord led us to the free, and as we were praying, you know, we were praying for the ones around us, you know, and one of the wee fellas come up one night, one of our mates, and he says to me, it was Diane, as a matter of fact, he says, can you help me? He says, I'm a heroin addict. You know, I knew nothing about drugs. They knew that I hated drugs. So they did, you know, and I hadn't a clue what to do. You know, when I simply get down and I ask the Lord would bring something to these young men. You know, I thank God for Chris Cullen. If you don't know, I do a wee bit of work with him. So do you, we go out around the estates and help them, show them where the people are and go around and talk. So I would, you know, but people would say there's nothing in the Lord. I can honestly tell you, the Lord has given me such a life, it's been unbelievable. So it has. You know, a scumbag from Ballymena sitting in Kenya, painting the skull for the Lord. Nobody will tell me that the Lord's not good. Nobody will tell me that God can't do anything. You know, I'll leave you this wee verse in Deuteronomy 4 and 39. Know therefore this day, and consider in thy heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above, and in the earth beneath, there is none else. Amen. And Mr. Parkin.